All right. From the inside out, my heart cries out. And, question is, does our heart cry out to be more like Christ? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. Good morning. I got home last Sunday afternoon, for the two weeks before that, I was hot and sweaty. And I get home and it's 47 degrees in Baltimore. By the time I get here, it's like almost freezing, and then it got really cold. But can't wait for the cold this week. That's going to be so exciting. And I tried to bring some sunshine home, but it didn't work. It's good to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. And I did miss you somewhat. I like you, but didn't miss my family that much either. Oh, man. It's good to be back. Thanks. We're doing a series that's an interesting last 2 weeks. Haven't been here for the last 2 weeks, but interesting thing the last 2 weeks. We first showed the video of Tortured for Christ, the story of Richard Warmbrand. And it was like Pastor Ronnie brought that video to me, said, "This is awesome. This is a great video. You got to see it." It's like, is it showing in church quality? And because I know it had some torture and stuff in it like that, that's why we warned you a couple times. I think it was a fantastic movie as far as the challenge of it. See, we live in a part of the world that we don't see that kind of stuff happening. We know about that it happened in the past and stuff, and I think it's really good to see that and to get to let the feeling of it soak in. And so I hope it stirred you inside a little bit. I hope it made you, as they beat his feet, I hope it brought tears almost to your eyes or to your eyes. I hope you were sitting there saying, "Enough. Don't hit him again. Enough, enough." Real big decision to show that in church. That's why I gave you warnings. But so many times we just get so used to coming to church here and stuff. We need to stir our feelings. God gave us emotions. We are called to be drawn to people like that. And it should draw out something inside of us that says, "Enough, enough, enough." And then to hear his wife, what was her comment when he was up in the gallery? When he was having to make a decision whether he was going to stand up for Christ or not. What did she say? Anybody remember? "I don't want a coward for a husband." She said that, I cried as soon as I heard that. That is such a hard, thing to say. Knowing what he was going to stand up to do. "I don't want a coward for a husband." Wow. They loved each other. They were committed to God. But there was something in their life that was more than the here and now. More than the what do we want to do right now? What makes us feel good? What will we do? And someday when we retire, then we'll serve the Lord because we'll have more time. There was an urgency in them. And I think sometimes we think that, I don't know what we think. I was moved by Steve and Steph's testimony too. It's like, so I'm like on the edge of being a woman. oh, crying, I mean, yes. I know, and that's very sexist or whatever you would call it. I don't really care. I'd be careful where I go. I get my glasses steamed up, but I was really moved by that. And then Bob's message last week. Now, what happened there is we went from, okay, this was back in the 40s, 1940s, and we come up to 2018, okay? Is this 19 already? Wow. Shoes. Well, I knew that, but I'm talking about the 18 statistics. He didn't do 19 statistics. He did 18 statistics, where this is happening back there. But you know what? I think we have an idea. We sit in church and we live in America and we think that was all back then. That was during Nazi and that was just all that kind of. It's today. A matter of fact, you got that video. You got that picture up here. And I'll show you a picture. If you are familiar with ICII, which I'm sure you are, this just happened. Okay, this guy here, and there's this Pastor Joshua, and just a couple weeks ago, this past Monday, this guy was out preaching, and in churches, and he'd been warned a whole bunch of times not to do that, and he was met on the way home and beat up, and pretty much I don't know if he was left for dead, but all kinds of injuries and stuff. They took him to the hospital. They assume there's internal injuries and broken ribs and different things inside, but they can't afford the treatment, which cost $300. And so his wife brought him home, and he was getting worse. And this just happened. And you know, if you've got ICII, this is happening all the time. They're getting beat up. They're getting killed. They've lost missionaries this year. Bob's statistics were, and that's good enough. I just wanted to put a face with it, you know, so you see what's happening here, Pastor Joshua. But you listen to his statistics, and, well, I think it was, if I remember right, 11 Christians a day are killed specifically because they believe in Jesus Christ. Today, 11 per day all last year, 11 a day. That's not the ones that are getting raped. That's not the ones that are getting put into prison. That's not the ones that are getting put into forced labor camps. That's not the ones that can't get a job anywhere because they have to declare on their papers that they're not Muslim, that they or Buddhist or whatever. And so the only thing they can do is roam the trash dumps looking for stuff or get in. See, I saw a video of a guy getting into a septic tank up to his neck and cleaning it out. And that's just because he's a Christian. It's not that he likes septic tanks. It's just that because he's a believer in Jesus Christ and has it written in his identification paper, which would have been so easy not to write it there. But they chose to make themselves known. That's now. So that video should stir something in us. A matter of fact, the reason I showed that, and the thing that I see in it, and the thing that I've heard from a couple of you guys, exactly the same question that I was asked, and I do every time I ask myself, could I endure that? Could I have endured that? Just to recant on my faith or to give up somebody else's name, could I have endured that? And I know I had a couple of you guys said, tell me at men's breakfast, that's what I thought. Could I have endured that? What would I do in the same situation? Would I keep going? If we had to suffer persecution, would we keep going? Now, if you answered that question, if anybody beside me said, if I had to suffer that kind of persecution, either what they're suffering in India and Pakistan and Kenya or all those other and just the 10 most, you know, and all the rest of the world, we're literally in the minority that we don't suffer persecution, physical persecution. Would we keep going? Would I keep going? I'm trying to think, how would I answer that question? How can we answer that question? Here, I'm playing with my keys, thank you. How can we answer that question? And I thought of a good way that I can answer that question. And you want to know if you can suffer that persecution? If you saw that coming, would you be ready to suffer that persecution? How would you do that? Would I be able to stand up under the pressure? And here's my here's the answer. If you would be able to stand, and this is the answer, excuse me, I'll just read it. You know, how will I be able to stand up under the pressure of an ever-increasing anti-Christian society? You know that we are in an increasing anti-Christian society. We would all say, yes, we are. From our friends, from our family, from our school, from our media, from our government, we are in an ever-increasing anti-Christian society, the same as they were. Now, if that's so, we're going to keep going down that path because in the last times it's going to get worse and worse. Are you able to stand up under that persecution? Well, here's my question, and here's my answer, kind of that I came up with, that I came up into myself, is, am I now standing up against the pressure that we have now? Well, someone's back there whispering. I know that. I was just pointing that out to other people that didn't know that. It's not that we have undisciplined children in our audience, okay? Otherwise, I'd yell at the parents. Mr. and Mrs., you should know better than that, all right? Get your kids out. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for translating. I appreciate that. I'll try to talk faster so it gets harder, all right? They're both used to that, all right? We're not facing persecution here yet, too much. Literal physical persecution. But we're facing what Bob called pressure, right? Isn't that what it was? Oh, I got to remind you something. If you were not here last week, you need to listen to last week's message online. Do you have a title on there? No, it's just last week's message online, okay? You need to go to the church website and listen. I'm going to tell you that. I listened to that, and I thought I was so challenged by that. And if you weren't here, please listen to that today or tomorrow and put it in the series of in your mind of the persecution we saw there, the persecution that's happening right now around the world. And my challenge is, if we can't stand up to the little bit of pressure there is in our world right now, and if we tend to quit, if we tend to back down, then we're never going to be able to answer your question. Could I put up with that pressure? No. Could I put up with persecution? No. Well, fortunately, God isn't asking us to put up with physical persecution at this point in America, but there is pressure, spiritual pressure on us to back down, to not care, to keep it to ourselves. And if you find yourself backing down and not standing up for Christ, but being ashamed for Christ, when physical pressure comes, you will back down. And I thought, well, when that really happens, obviously I wouldn't back down. But I'm telling you what, if you're giving into spirit to pressure right now, I'm telling you, you will back down then. The time that you start standing up to physical persecution is now when it's just pressure. Now, I'm not saying be weird and be nasty. I'm just saying start standing up to pressure. And so many Christians in America are sitting down and giving in and hiding their heads in the sand and say, someday when it really gets bad, maybe then. And if that's your idea, it's not going to work. Okay? I want to really encourage us this week and next week to become heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith. And you know what heroes of this, my bottom line on heroes of the faith isn't the people sitting back there from the Dominican, although they are, but that's not the standard. We don't all have to go there. Heroes of the faith is people that stand up to the pressure and then someday stand up to the persecution. I consider anybody, I consider the Anarios hero of the faith. Actually, the Mercedes is. Yeah, sorry about that. I always just thought Dr. Anario was your last name. I've been calling him like Kensinger Bob, you know. What my definition of a spiritual hero is, somebody who just obeys God. Because we are in a society when so many Christians are not obeying God. They're just not willing to obey because of the cost. The cost to them, the cost for whatever the cost is. We're going to look at some of those things. They're not willing to become heroes of the faith. I love this. I'm going to challenge you over the next couple of weeks to become a hero of the faith. Don't sell everything and go somewhere. You don't have to be beat up. You don't have to be in Hebrews chapter 10, 11, and 12 or whatever to become heroes of the faith. All you need to do is say yes to God. And be willing to stand up for the teeny little pressure in junior high, in high school, in college, at work, at home, with your friends, on the internet, wherever, to stand up and just be obedient to God in the decisions that you make. That's all it takes to become a hero of the faith. So every one of you can do it. But the question is, are you willing to? And what really... What I saw in my life is, yeah, I'd say, oh, I wouldn't give in and I wouldn't want to do that. They can, you know, if they chained the guy's, one guy's son up and beat him to death in prison. And his son said, don't give in, don't give in. Until he died, would we do that? See, you don't wait till the big thing comes to stand up for Christ. You won't do it if you cave in the little things. I want to be part of a church that doesn't cave in the little things, that doesn't back down and wimp out. That's not a hero of the faith. You may be saved and have your fire insurance, which I thoroughly believe in, but don't back down. I don't want to be like those who back down, or the Bible says, shrink back. I want to be part of those who, after the battle comes, we're still standing, no matter what the battle is. And we are so fortunate right now that we are not in the rest of the world. We are in the just some spiritual pressure world. And I see Christians all over America giving in to that little bit of spiritual pressure. So, I think if I had to suffer, would I stand up for Christ if I had to suffer? I think that's a fairly hypothetical question for us. You know what? I think some of these kids in the front row, they're going to have physical pressure. I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 40 years while I'm still alive. Just kidding. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when that's going to come, but I want to tell you the natural course of things is we will have physical pressure soon. And the question is, are we ready for it? Well, how do you get ready for it? You do the simple things. I say simple because they're not simple. You do the small things first. So my question is, how you doing now in the small things? How you doing now in the things that God asked you to obey? How you doing now in peer pressure in school? To cuss, swear, laugh at people, give in, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut at work when they say no proselytizing. Well, then proselytize quietly without anybody knowing, because God never gave us the command to don't proselytize, don't make disciples. He said exactly the opposite. You go into all the world. As you're going, you make disciples, period. And if you are pressured and if you lose your job, I'm sure you talk to the people in Kenya, you talk to the Inarios, you talk to all these people who have sacrificed huge amounts of their life, and a lot of times even their lives, and they would have much rather just lost their job, especially when you can still get another one somewhere. I'm saying, but be careful. Do it sneakily, okay, until God tells you to be bold and to be outright. But the point is, are we willing to obey? And that's what I think a hero of the faith is. And some of you guys are in different kind of jobs and different kind of works and different kind of families. You have different kind of siblings. You have all kinds of different stuff. But the point is, all God's asking you to do is obey. Are you willing to obey? And that's what makes a spiritual hero. It's kind of like, we're in America, we're going, as believers in Christ, if you're willing to become a hero of the faith, you're kind of going against the flow, okay? You're not really going to be taken away and put in prison or executed, or your family's going to be wiped out, but you're more going against the flow. You're being told to be quiet with your opinions, even though everyone's allowed to speak their opinions, and we should be open enough-minded to hear everybody's opinion. Christ followers are not allowed to share their opinion. Don't express your beliefs. Conform, fit in, be tolerant. That's what we're being told to do. And we are being pressured into that. And so many Christians are backing down, not sharing when they know they should. I keep hearing stories of people that had an in, you know, and I'm so proud of you guys for doing that and for the difference it's going to make in this world, in this community. It's tremendous. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I want you to take a look at this, and you all know this. This is not an unfamiliar verse. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, but mark this. In other words, you can count on this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Now, here's a description of the last days, and if you really think about people and our society, you're going to see we fit into a lot of these. It doesn't say often that they're going to kill people and torture people, but this is what our world in America is very quickly, rapidly coming to. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Okay? I'm not going to stop at every one, but look at these things. Do you see that? You see this on TV and movies. You see this in people in your school and your classmates. You see this in people you come in contact with. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. This is the current going through America, going through our private, public, Christian schools. through our jobs. This is the current that the majority of people in America are going through, and probably around the world, but I've been all the way around the world. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. That's gossip and lying and things. I got the opportunity to teach fourth grade this week in KFJ, and because Brittany Martin was sick. And I said, for sure in fourth grade, there's no gossip that goes on in fourth grade, right? And they're like, you haven't been in fourth grade for a long time, okay? Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form, and this catches most of the rest of the church people that weren't already in those, having a form of godliness but denying his power. Here's what God says. What's he say? What's the last phrase? Have nothing to do with, what's it say? With such people. Have nothing to do with such people. And I know you go to school with them, and I know some of them are in your family, and I know all. It's not leave them. It's not forget them. What it is they're all going this way. Don't follow that. You turn and go that way. You struggle upstream. Because that's the pressure. The world is, without even saying it, without even speaking it, going this way. And it becomes, if everybody's ungrateful for long enough and everybody you hang out with is ungrateful, what are you going to become, more grateful? If you're a godly person, yes. If you're someone that likes to conform, then you're going to literally, the natural instinct is to become ungrateful, unholy, to be lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You're going to tend to be a gossip. You're going to tend to be a slanderer. And God says, have nothing to do with that direction. Shame on it. Shame on you guys over here. You're already washed downstream. But the rest of you guys from here over, go this way. Sorry, Paul. Go this way. Have nothing to do with that current. They are great people. And God died for those people. And God loves them, and God came to rescue those people. But you as a believer, go this way. They're your friends. But don't become so friendly that you go with them towards an ungodly attitude. Go this way. Go upstream. Don't just lift up your feet and drift with the current. Because that's a wuss. That's a wimp. That's somebody who doesn't want to make a difference in this world. That is not a hero of the faith. A hero of the faith goes that way in little things. And as our society, as that water gets going faster and the current and the flow gets faster and faster and faster, you've got to dig your feet in. You've got to look for stepping stones. You've got to grow. You've got to become strong in your faith. And it's going to get harder and harder to go that way until physical persecution starts. And you will be able to stand up under that pressure. But you don't float downstream until physical persecution starts. There's no possible way you're going to be able to stand up under that pressure then. Now is the time to become a hero of faith. Now. You old people, now. See, the attitude of this world goes directly against God's character. Everything in that verse goes against God's character. Goes against what God created for you. Against the flow is where we're called to walk in today's society. Don't have anything to do with those people. So the last 2 weeks, why we showed the video, why Bob shared what he did. Did I mention to you, you need to listen to the last week's video? Okay? You need to listen to it. Seriously. Not because he's an awesome speaker. He doesn't do any good at all compared to his dad. But I listened to it and I thought, that's incredible. I come back from vacation, it's like, I got to talk about persecution. I just had like the easy life. Now listen to that, and that just set me on a course. Did I mention you need to listen to that if you weren't here last week? If you were here last week, you need to listen to it again, honestly. You need that. Because that takes all this stuff out of the past and puts it right now, and this is the society that we're living in. So the last 2 weeks were designed to do two things in your heart. We designed to do for God to do two things in your hearts and in your minds. The first thing has three parts. The first thing that we designed this to do is I wanted to create an awakening towards our persecuted family around the world. We want this to create an awakening. Because for some reason, the majority of Pine Grovians like think it's like a lifetime trip to go to New Jersey or the beach. And it's great at the beach, not the rest of New Jersey, but the beach is great, all right? And I don't even go there. I go to Maryland, okay? But anyway, you go there, okay? We kind of like, we're not surrounded by all kinds of different people and all kinds of races and classes. There's some churches in E3. There's some churches around Washington that have 60 different nationalities in their church. Man, wow, would that be difficult? We need to be awakened to what's happening outside of our United States. And we don't need that awakening from CNN and MSNBC or PB or public television or even the better, Fox. We need to be awakened by what's happening around the world when it comes to spiritual things and not fall asleep in this. So I want to create an awakening because those people, Joseph is our family. We've been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ as believers, which Steve shared so well this morning. When he was born into God's family, these people are our family. They're not just people in India, people in that part of the world. They are our family. Anarios, Mercedes's, whoever they are part of our family. Serving somewhere else where it's not quite as easy as it is serving here. We need to understand them. That's why we're going to put these pictures. That's why we bring missionaries up front. To keep us aware that there are people in our family of Jesus Christ. I want to create an awakening for our persecuted family around the world. A, under that, is here's in these ways. To remember our brothers and sisters who are suffering. The second one is to pray for them that they will endure, not get out of it. I heard that in Bob's message. That when you ask the people that have gone through this physical suffering, what do they want us to pray for? Don't pray that we'll get out of it. Pray that we'll endure through it. Who ever heard of such a thing? If I'm being persecuted physically, pray that I get out of it. And bring your guns and get me out of it. Okay? Now, don't reach for it now. I know most of you carry one, okay? But I thought, that's a phenomenal insight into persecution. How many of us have that thought? How many of us literally, I've always found myself praying that it would end. And they say, don't pray that it end because that's how I get to know God, Christ better. That's how I experience the suffering of Christ. Pray that I won't give up, I won't quit, I won't be washed downstream. Pray that as I lean into that current, as my feet are being beaten, I will still pray for the one that's beating my feet. You talk about a twist in what to pray for. Almost feel guilty not praying that they get out of it, but praying that they'll endure through it. But see, that's always my prayer for you guys. That you endure through our teeny little bit of pressure. Because I don't face spiritual pressure anymore. I'm kidding. I pray for myself that I will endure it. I don't face any more or any less than you do. But that we will endure it. I love that. Pray for them that they will endure it, not get out of it. And the third one in that is that we will give towards them. we have a lot of money invested in, it's God's money. He has a lot invested in what they're doing, the church they're building down there. We have a lot of money invested in around the world. But here, give towards them sacrificially. Don't you think we should give sacrificially? Be careful of that answer. That's a trick question. Not just give, but give. See, there's a difference between giving out of your abundance and giving sacrificially. When you give sacrificially, you'll think, oh, I can't stop at Starbucks this week. That's sacrificial giving. Or Panera Bread. Sacrificial giving is when it hurts a little bit. I'm praying that these things waken us so that we're, because they're sacrificing all around the world. They're our family. Would you sacrifice for your family? If they were in spiritual, dire, physical need? $300 and they can't get the test that they need. $300. I could take an offering almost in the front row and they'd have it. Include the in second row, we'd have it in our wallets now. That we give sacrificially. Monetarily is good, but even better than that, personally. You know what I mean by giving personally? Think this through. What do I mean by giving personally? Giving yourself to that cause. In America, we're so easy to pull our wallets open. Here's $20, here's $100, here's something like that. But do we give ourselves? Do we give ourselves to CareNet and the time they need up there? Do we give ourselves to Celebrate Recovery? Or is that, do we have to give a whole nother night for that? Oh. Is God calling you to go to one of these countries? And to skip this big paying college degree that they tell you you'll make all kinds of money at? Or are you willing to go and be trained to go over there and use your skills somewhere where there is pressure, huge amount of pressure and persecution? See, we're all willing to give money, but do we do it sacrificially and to the point where we say, God, here I am, send me. Me. To leave your home, to leave your family, to allow your grandkids to leave your family. See, these are the three things: to remember them, to pray that they'll endure, and to give towards them sacrificially, monetarily, personally, right down to yourself. You know, I mean, if I ask you that question, I have a little note as I was studying this. Why would you not give yourself? Come up with your excuse. Why would you not give yourself? What is it that's keeping you from giving yourself? See, if I was doing a whole missionary weekend, this would be my thing, my ending. Why would you not give yourself? You got your excuses? How are they? Are they like really legit excuses? They may be. I'm not saying. Vicki and I have often in the beginning of our ministry said, God, we would like to go to the mission field. We would love that. That's what we always wanted to do. But God never called us there. I have a legitimate excuse why I didn't go to the mission field. So there are legitimate excuses. What is ours? What is yours? See, this is what I wanted to do. Now, I'm still just on my introduction for this message, just in case you're wondering, okay? But I did go through this morning, but you said you're never going to get through all this, okay? So I do have a couple different ending points. Or I could go on for a long time. But the second reason we went through this is because I wanted to assist in transforming our hearts and minds into a Christian perspective, into a Christ-like perspective, okay? I want us to think about them, and as much as I want to think about them and draw your attention to them, I want us to think, does this help me gain a Christ-like perspective on my life? I want to take it personally. Okay, I want to get personally into our lives. So that's where we're going with this week and obviously now next week. I wanted to assist in transforming our hearts and minds into a Christ-like perspective. Now, when you're reading in Hebrews chapter 11, that's what we always call, you can turn there. Hebrews chapter 11 is like the faith chapter, okay? And I like to look at it like it's the heroes of the faith chapter. And so I want to read Hebrews 11, 35 to 40. And this is the basis for where we're going. This is kind of an example of where we're going. Because you understand That as a hero in the faith, you're looking ahead, you're thinking of a different goal, and it means you give up your past in a way. I'm not living for what everybody else lives for around me. I'm not going with the flow. I'm looking that way towards Christ, who is the author, the perfecter, the finisher of my faith, and who for the joy set before him, I'm going to endure the leaning into it and endure the leaning into it. And you're going to hear a word for the next couple weeks, perseverance. Perseverance. Because a lot of Christ followers start and get tired and say, I'm just going to take a break for a little bit. Give me a tube. Let me raft down there. Give me a kayak. Let me flow downstream. So Hebrews 11, 35 to 40. Here's kind of like the end of the faith chapter. The other ones were the good ones where things turned out really good, okay? This is where things probably didn't turn out. They were really tough things, but Hebrews 11, 35 to 40. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. That's a good thing. There were others, though, who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. I always read that, refusing to be released. Where were they in there saying, okay, your time's up, you served enough time, open the jail cell, and they said, nope, torture me more. No, that's stupid. Why would you even think that? It's obvious, duh. They said, I'm not going to recant. I'm not going to give you the names. I'm not going to reject God. They refused to submit. To endure. And isn't that what they ask us to pray for? That they would endure through it? Not get out of it easy by rejecting God? There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers. Oh. You're a Christian. Some face jeers and flogging. That's a little bit different. When you just lose all the skin under your back and the back of your legs and around your shoulders and your arms is just ripped off by chunks of metal. All right? You saw the Passion of Christ. If you haven't seen the Passion of Christ because you think it's going to be terrible, it is, and you should still see it. Okay? It should awaken that feeling. You should sit to the end of the movie and just weep. And say, enough. But it's definitely more graphic than torture for Christ. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by the stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by swords. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, which obviously wouldn't be a great thing. Destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Listen to what God says. The world was not worthy of them. Ha! Is that a hero of the faith? And these guys stood up against the pressure to accost them their pain and their life and everything they had. And the world wasn't worthy of them. See, that's God's view. That's the God we sang to in these songs. They went about, and the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. But they were used to that kind of lifestyle, right? Obviously not. They were people just like us. And they're still doing this. And these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God was planning something even better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I love this. These are the people that lived by faith that God didn't take away their cancer. God didn't take away the pain. He didn't make them whole. He didn't heal them. He let them be tortured and executed and beat and ripped apart. He did not give them a nice house. There was not a pretty ending for their life. He did not rescue their children. They were raped and killed and murdered and sent away or buried in mass graves. He did not answer what they wanted. They weren't going that way, were they? They were going that way. And those are the people God says, these are the heroes of faith. We're not in the United States quite that bad yet. I'd love you to give your life to go to another country. and go over and sacrifice everything you have. But only if you're not giving into the pressure here. These were all commended for their faith, and none of them received what had been promised. But God, you made me a promise. You said, if I claim your power, I'll be healed. God was on vacation that day. God said, no, I don't promise that to everybody. You don't even know if I'm going to promise that to you or not. I'm not going to promise to take you out of your pain. Pain is good for you sometimes. Pain is good for the other people around you because, like you'll see, one of the points down there is we're all being watched. And we're not living for this world. We're not living for today. We're not living like everybody else for the ease and the comfort and answer my prayers, God, help me to have a nice day. I find myself praying that prayer, God, help me to have a nice day. And I'm thinking, that's stupid. Maybe God wants me to not have a nice day, in my opinion. I should pray, God, just give me whatever day you want, good or bad, in my opinion. Because my opinion doesn't count because I'm looking there. My opinion counts when I'm going that way, right? But when I'm going that way, it's not my will, but yours be done. None of these received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us. See, that's perspective. That is a right perspective. And heroes of the faith have a right perspective, a proper perspective. Now we're up to where I wanted to start this week. I'm done, I know. I wasn't going to quit till like point three or four. What I'd like you to prepare for is this was my hard part of the message. The rest is going to be really building you up and trying to get us to really do a good thing. I promise I won't scold you the whole next couple weeks, okay? And I'm really not scolding you. I just get so frustrated myself because, to be honest, I pick up my feet and drift that way sometimes, and I have to continually stop and say, God, because everything in me wants to go that way. You know what? Everything in me wants to go that way. It's no fun to be belittled. It's no fun to lose money because you're going that way. It's no fun to sacrifice part of your life. It's no fun to give till it hurts. Because the key word in there is hurts, okay? I don't like to sacrifice stuff. I do now more than I used to. But I need this kind of challenge to keep going that way. I need to know that, you know, let's make a V in the river. Does that work in water? May make boats with that. It must work, you know? Let's follow each other that direction. Let's, as a church, let's make the cutting edge until we sacrifice. Let's understand what a proper perspective for you to have and your wife to have and your siblings to have and for you to have, whatever age. What is it that God's expecting of you? Understand, I'm not asking you to make a children's ministries in the Dominican Republic. I'm not asking you to go there. I'm asking you just whatever it is that God has you to do, go that direction and do it. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, no matter how much it's easier to go that way, let's not do the easy thing. And the more of us that go that way, the more of a wake we make to bring other people that way with us. So what I'd like to talk about the next couple of weeks is proper perspective. What is the perspective that Christians should have of their life? What is it that makes a hero of the faith? So I want to break proper perspective down. And you're welcome to study ahead. The notes are in there. Okay, feel free to go ahead and make that part of your quiet time. And then when I say something next week, you can say, that's not what it says because I read it, okay? Because you're supposed to be watching our doctrine closely, all right? But feel free to go ahead and do that. But I guess the thing this morning would be, you heard some good testimonies. You see some things that are happening around the world. Just, are you willing to say, God, it's time that I look at my entire life. Spend time looking at your entire life instead of not coming back next week, okay? I promise I won't hurt you next week. But I think that most every one of you guys
and every one of you women, every one of you students here, you want to know and you want to live right. I know you do. I see it in your faces, but it is hard. It is not easy. I want to encourage you to do right in just little stuff. In just little stuff. So that someday, when we get to the physical persecution, you'll be able to say, I hate this, but I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. Become a hero of the faith. Just decide whether you want to be or not, and whether you're willing to do what it takes to be a hero of the faith. I also want to say that a lot of you guys are going that direction. I'm just going to encourage you to keep going with me down that direction. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you care about us. Thank you that you've given us words of encouragements and examples to live by. I thank you for some of the examples we've seen on stage and in video today. I pray that we might become the men that you want us to be, the women that you want us to be, the junior high students that you want us to be. You promised to never leave us or forsake us. You promised that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You never promised us perfection, no pain. You never promised us healing. God, you just promised that in the end, we will receive something that is so much better than what's at the end of the stream if we go there. Give us the wisdom to endure and to persevere. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.